And gentlemen, welcome to a podcast named Tim, a father and son movie review podcast. Each week we talk about two or three movies. This week it is Eraserhead and Paradise Alley. We came up with the theme of directorial debuts, and so two interesting debuts for two well-known directors and one also an actor. But that's what we're going to be talking about this week. Please do subscribe to on the audio platform of your choosing. We are available everywhere podcasts are. And of course, we also are on YouTube. And if you're on YouTube, subscribe to us there as well. And we are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, podcast named Tim. And we have a website, podcastnamedtim.com, where you can see a list of every movie we've ever watched. And you can click on the link and basically go to any particular episode to hear our thoughts on one of the, I think, over 400 movies at this point we've probably talked about. I'm Zach. Dad, how are you today? Good, sir.
Fantastic.
That is good. That is good. Last night, we had a fun little game night. Played a little Quacks of Quedlinburg and Chronicles of Crime. Now that you've had an evening to sleep on it, what are your thoughts?
Well, with Alex, I've definitely liked, we both liked the Quack one.
Okay.
I didn't mind the mystery one. What was it called?
Chronicles of Crime.
Chronicles of Crime. Uh-huh. Except for, that would have to be a single movie night. I mean, single thing. And just that one. One back to something else was kind of rough.
Okay.
Alex said that's not really his kind of game. He's
too much talk to people.
Yeah, let me just handle my business. But I didn't mind it. I thought it was interesting.
Okay.
I would play it again. I think I like. I don't know. Maybe we should go to one game an evening and just play it a couple times if we like it.
Yeah. That's probably a better idea for next time. And we'll work good for next time with our next game night, because tell you right now, we're doing Ticket to Ride. So
she's got a ticket to ride, but she doesn't care.
But what else have you been watching other than Eraserhead and Paradise Alley? Nothing.
Chicago PD.
I didn't watch anything this week. I did. Me and Allison, my wife, have been watching Star Wars, The Clone Wars. We have 4 episodes left in season 4, so we are trucking right along. I got to get caught up on Invincible.
I haven't watched the new one of that yet.
There's a few other things to get caught up on. But that's pretty much it. Nothing else exciting going on. I just watched these movies. I feel like I watched something else, but I can't remember. I'm just ready for Mortal Kombat.
I'm sure I did. It eludes me at this time.
I'm just ready for Mortal Kombat.
Yes. I hope it is all that I am hoping it will be.
I've got high hopes. Which
probably is a bad idea. Probably should go in with lower hopes and then we'll enjoy it more. But
We will see. Yes,
we'll see.
If you want to get into this, we can. So I think we're going to have a lot to talk about.
I don't.
I think we're going to have a lot to talk about.
All right, you say so.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick moment to pause, and then we're going to start with Eraserhead, because I think that'll probably eat up the majority of this podcast. So we're going to take a quick moment to pause, and we'll be right back with Eraserhead. So, Eraserhead came out in 1977. It is the directorial debut of David Lynch. This is my first David Lynch film. 1 hour and 29-minute runtime. It is considered a fantasy horror film. It is also written by David Lynch, I should say. Has a 90% on the tomato meter and an 83 from the audience score. Has a 7.4 on IMDb. Was nominated for a couple like film festival lower level awards. It is a story of Henry Spencer, who is dealing with the world. We'll just put it that way. And he finds out his girlfriend is pregnant, and or a lady that he has at least been sleeping with is pregnant, and they end up with a mutant child, and then he's got to deal with being a daddy and some other things, maybe. This is my selection for the week. The cat kind of got out of the bag as far as our opinions, our base opinions of this movie.
Wife.
My wife, yeah, she broke the cardinal rule of the podcast. She watched it with me, and she ran into you and told you my thoughts. But let's start at the beginning of this movie, about the general overview of this movie. This movie has everything that you and I hate in movies. Every single thing. It is a director who's smelling his own farts. It is weird for being weird. It is nonsensical in some respects, but I'll get in that in a minute. It's like 8.5, but just with like a mutant baby. And I hated 8.5. And I hated this movie, like, while watching it, basically. And then, like, the last, like, I don't know, a few minutes, and it wasn't anything that was happening. I think my mind just caught up with what I was watching. I can't get this movie out of my head. I really enjoy this movie. I thought about watching it a second time this week. And I'll get into why, but you can go ahead and tell me your thoughts. And you're not wrong. Everything you're about to say, which I know what you're going to say, is correct.
Yeah, it just was beyond. I mean, look, I know what I was getting into when it was David Lynch.
Right.
I suffered through Twin Peaks. So, I've watched a few other movies. I think Mulholland Drive is the only one that I actually ended up really caring for.
Right.
I've never seen Wild at Heart, which I hear is good.
Or have you seen Dune? He did Dune, right?
I did not know that. Well, if you did Dune, that's another one I hated. That is just so boring. Yeah, it was just too bizarre. It was just too... I don't know. I just thought it was just boring, and I normally like, it just, I don't know, there was just nothing there for me. I don't know, I just could not get into it. I don't know, that's what I said, you said we had a lot to say on. I really don't, because I don't really care one way or another. It's just not something that I would never watch it again. I mean, he won't even discuss it to tell, because I don't think he knows what the hell it's about.
I think he knows what it's about.
Is it really about anything?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you explain it.
Okay. Well, the other movies that he's probably known for are, he did do Dune, and he also did The Elephant Man. Here's the crux of the difference between 8.5 and this movie. Because largely they are both the same movie. As far as just like weird, I'm just going to do my own thing and be the auteur. And, you know, if it doesn't make sense to you, too bad. The main difference is the message. And the crux of the movie, and the audience that is 8.5 is, are you a director or an artist? Which I am not. And then you can get the movie.
Uh-huh.
Eraserhead is, have you ever been a parent and scared as shit of being a parent? and everyone can relate to that. It's like, and I'm not saying what I'm about. When you look at Star Wars, it's got all the cool sci-fi stuff, but none of that matters. At the end of the day, it's about a father and a son. That's it. That's the important part of the movie.
Okay.
Eraserhead's got all this weird, crazy shit in it that I couldn't. Some of it I can't even explain to you. But at the core of it, it's about a parent who is scared of being thrust into parenthood. And I think it did that message well, even with all the other crazy stuff in it. I'm not saying that the delivery of it was perfect. It wasn't, right. But I think overall, it got the mood and tone and the idea of being scared of being a parent correct. And that's why I think it's a great movie, because I think everyone can relate to it.
So I see what you're saying. Now I can put that into it and go, okay, I can see that. But do it in a way that's not so weird that I can't see it. Right. Because I'm just watching the timer, hoping that this will end.
So I was very worried with the opening of the movie, which is, for people who have not seen Eraserhead, there's like a planet. And then there's like a superimposed image of our hero, I guess. Yeah. And he's just got his mouth open, agape, and he's confused. And there's like a little sperm worm, space worm flying through. I thought when I first saw it, I thought it was like his like spleen that had been like ripped out of his body.
Yeah.
And it's just floating around. And that's like, I don't know, 10 minutes. 5 to 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, there's like no talking like in the first 20 minutes.
Did you get this vibe? And because I did, before we got to talking, it had a very silent film, not just because there was no talking, but like the look of it and the walking, and it felt like kind of like a Charlie Chaplin movie, like the way he was walking around and he stepped in the puddle. And
right,
it had like a Charlie Chaplin feel to it to me.
Yeah, definitely.
And that was just interesting. I kind of want to go through some of the scenes of this movie because they're just fascinating to talk about. So
go for it.
He goes to he's at his weird crib where I guess there's like a bunch of mold and stuff in there. It's in Skid Row, baby. So he finds out his girlfriend's pregnant. I don't remember how he finds out, but he goes over to their house. And they have, again, a very relatable situation. Meeting the parents of the girl you're dating or knocked up or whatever for the first time, and that weird awkwardness that is associated with that meeting. So we had that. And they're sitting at the dinner table, and he cuts open a chicken, which they talk about had been...
Like a Cornish hen to me.
And it started just like bleeding and screaming, and then someone had like a I think the mom had an orgasm at the table.
There was something going on.
I don't know what was going on there, but then then they confront him, hey, you've knocked up our daughter, you're gonna make this right. And for some reason the mom also has like an orgasm over talking to him about this for some reason. You have like this weird, just the whole family is mentally challenged or has issues. I feel like our hero was just a normal guy who society just beat down and he didn't know how to deal with everything around him.
He was something was wrong with him.
I don't know. He was kind of normal. He was kind of normal for the movie.
I never knew. I know that actor. I mean, when I actually saw his current picture, I was like, "Oh, that guy!" I never noticed from that picture that's who that was.
So they have the baby, right?
Right.
Which we don't get a scene of, but the baby's there. The baby's already been born, and they go back to his place and. The effects, the look of this baby, I think, especially for what the budget was, amazing. Sheer terror, looked great, sounded good. That was the other thing, the sound, all the sounds of this movie were great.
Yeah, they definitely put you on the edge.
Sound of it was great. I liked the practical effect of the baby. I thought it looked awesome.
I thought it was horrible.
I thought it looked great. And then basically the woman leaves. She's like, I can't deal with this shit. And there's a great scene where she's like trying to rip out her bag from underneath the table. It was supposed to look like she was in prison. You had the bars on her and she's like looking out like she's trapped. This was very artsy. I know we don't like artsy, but I like this movie. So she leaves.
Wow, you really got a lot out of this thing.
I did.
I'm impressed.
I guess we just talk about the radiator lady. That's the quiet part I'm not sure about. Because she had these big puffy cheeks. One time she sings a creepy song.
Yeah, what was up with the cheek? What was that? That was gross.
So I have a couple thoughts.
Okay.
My main one is, I am assuming, because his room look infested with stuff.
Okay.
I assume, if I'm putting I'm an artiste hat on, she is supposed to be kind of like industrial sludge and waste and mold, like all the bad things that you would have if you lived in the ghetto and you got crummy places. That's the only thing I can think of, because like I think that, you know, you had this mutant baby, you had this overrun, like I think it was, if I'm, again, I'm putting on a artiste hat, maybe this is about how people who are poor and grow up in bad places that are run down and messed up, the kids end up getting sick and messed up, and the kids end up getting, they become mutants, you know?
Okay.
That's what I came out of it with.
Wow.
Your thoughts?
the clock was still running on the little time there. I must have paused this movie a thousand times to see how much was left.
So here's where things get really weird. Really, really weird. So I forgot how it happens. He ends up like in the a room that I think is inside the radiator. And the girl's like stepping on little sperms.
Right.
And then he's there. And then his kid pops up out of his head. Like we have like the Vader scene, like Luke and Vader, you know.
Right.
They're connected. And there's a bunch of screaming and stuff. His head gets chopped off. And then a little boy picks it up in a street, an area, runs over to a shop where there's a guy making pencils, and I guess they put his head in a blender to make it into a pencil, and that's where we get the name Eraserhead for. That I've watched several videos on like analysis and thoughts on the movie. I have not seen one person provide an explanation of that scene. That particular segment.
Maybe because no one.
I think if you were to take that scene out, it would be a better movie. And it would be more streamlined and connected. Because everything else I can kind of make an excuse for. Here, yeah. I'm just like, I got nothing. At the end of the movie, he ends up cutting the baby.
Like, yeah, that was the most disturbing thing I've seen in a long time.
And stabbing it. It was great practice.
It was all the bubbly stuff, goo, that was making me just, what the hell?
The baby turns into like a giant head and then like eats him or something, and then he's in like a white room. Maybe he committed suicide. I don't know. But I don't know. I couldn't tell you I don't know if I can tell you what this movie was about other than the core of it, but I liked it.
You sure you're not just forcing yourself to like
no.
it?
No.
So you don't feel as though you get it.
No. Every day since we have watched this movie, I've thought about this movie.
Well, that doesn't mean, you know.
No, like it popped into my head, like, oh man, what was that scene about? Oh man, like I wanted to think about it and learn more. Every day.
I have thought about going to therapy.
The only other movie
having it removed.
One of the only other movies that has done this to me for this show since we've been reviewing this was Lighthouse. I thought about it for like 2 weeks straight.
Yeah, but Lighthouse is weird, but it's a good kind of weird to me.
Oh, Lighthouse is better. But huh. I've thought about this movie every day.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I do have some trivia. I'm sure you didn't look up at me.
I did, because I was hoping somebody in there said, let me tell you what you just watched. And nobody said that. They decided. So go ahead and kick a little trivia for us.
There's a certain director who made The Shining named Stanley Kubrick.
Okay, I didn't see this.
Okay. He made his cast watch this film to get him in the mood for what they were trying to make. And I get it.
Is that documented? Are we sure I don't know. You didn't say if anyone makes this piece of shit, then, you know, I think he was showing them what not to do.
I think I guarantee you Stanley Kubrick likes this movie.
Oh, I'm sure.
but yeah, I can see it. I can see it's got that same like awkward pause kind of horror style to it. Also, did you see how long it took him to make this movie?
Well, I saw something about the girl was like 3 when they first, whatever, and then 8 when they, or something, so.
It took them, they did this piecemeal over 5 years.
5 years.
And a lot of the sets had to be torn down and rebuilt, and Jack Nance, the actor, the main guy, he kept his hair like that the whole time.
I mean, I felt 5 years older after I watched it.
Yeah. And the nickname for the baby, Spike.
I didn't see that. Yeah. Why?
I don't know. That's what Jack Nance named it. Again, everything you have said is correct. I cannot say that you were wrong. You are absolutely right. I just liked it, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't either.
Other than that core idea of, look, had great practical effects, great sound, and I think it was relatable enough on the core idea of being scared of paranoid. And I listened to someone. A lot of movies don't talk about that. So I think those factors, again, I understand the layers of weirdness and everything, but at its core, I think the idea is well done.
I thought it was just another dribbling David Lynch project. And his first, so.
And his first.
How he ever worked again after this, I do not know.
People like.
I mean, I'm sure. I mean, this is a huge cult classic. So,
yeah,
there's people that really love this.
I mean, we watched it in the Turner. I don't know about you. I watched it in the Turner Classic Movie section of HBO Max. This is a TCM film. Yeah. So I mean, it is revered in some respects. I enjoyed it, but I also get. I would never argue with anyone about this movie.
I would like. I wish before he goes, he would talk about it a little bit.
Yeah. Like, I don't think he would.
I'd like to know what his... But I don't... You know what? You wouldn't understand his explanation anyway. because he's so out there.
I'm sure.
I really don't think that this is a character. I don't think he's putting on anything. I think he is as weird as his movies come off.
Well, I think it's time to talk about another directorial debut, sir.
Yeah.
Your selection for the week.
Yeah.
Paradise Alley. Came out in 1978. Another great 70s film. PG rating, 1 hour and 47 minute runtime. Although I thought that was longer, but 5.8 on IMDb, a 40% on the tomato meter, and a 44 from the audience. It's about three Italian American brothers who are in the slums of New York City in the 40s. One brother is a gimp from the war. One brother is a salesman, I guess. He's a hustler. And the other guy is a big brute, dumb, and lugs ice. And they try and get him to go into to the wrestling business to make some money off of him. Written and directed and starring Sylvester Stallone. Armand. How do you say his last name?
Armand Asante.
Terry Funk. I did not catch a lot of the other wrestlers, and I barely recognized Terry Funk until the end of the movie.
Terry Funk, I did not recognize until they went into this shot right here.
Right
through his eyes when they were doing the arm wrestling, and I was like, that's Terry Funk.
I didn't even see it until
see it in his eyes.
I didn't see it until, like, towards the end.
Right. And the only other two I saw were Ray Stevens, because of his blonde hair. He stuck out to me. And, I did not catch Ted DiBiase at all. I couldn't find him in it. Then I got to think, maybe it was his dad. But no, it was not. It was Junior. And King Haku was in it.
Yeah, and I didn't see him.
But now, again, maybe the credits didn't get changed. If you read the stuff, he ended up having to cut like 40 minutes out of the movie or something. So lots of scenes went out. So maybe some of the wrestling scenes that ended up being montages were a little more to them. So maybe some of them were in that.
Yeah. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
This could have been good if it had been shot as a serious film and not a campy 70s movie. If this had been written later and done as an actual, because this all happened, there was these underground wrestling clubs where when they were still doing shoot fighting and not the professional wrestling we know today. So I think if it had been done as a serious movie, take out the silliness, then it could have actually been a good movie. But because it was shot with the weird, it was 70s. Then it ended up being a piece of crap.
This is one of the biggest pieces of shit I've ever seen.
Not that far, but it was
bad. Oh, this is on Slipstream level of bad, sir.
It was bad.
Let's go through some of the awards this movie has.
worst movie.
Winner, the Stinker's Bad Movie Awards. Winner, Worst Actor, Sylvester Stallone. Nominees, Worst Picture and nominee, Worst Sense of Direction, called the Stop Them Before They Direct Again. It was written before Rocky.
Right.
And Rocky, of course, became a big success. And Hollywood didn't want anything to do with it. They made the correct call. They said, this is not a good script. This is a terrible idea. And then Rocky happened. And then they said, well, maybe we just don't know what we're doing. Let's make this movie happen. And they were right the first time. Here's the first thing. The opening of this film. The 10-minute opening or whatever it was, where we have running across the roof. did not explain what this movie was about, took too long, and here's a small thing. I've never seen freeze frame, like stop freeze frame credits at the beginning of a movie. That's an end of the movie thing.
Right.
And that music. This had the worst music ever. It was terrible.
Yeah.
There was another movie we did recently where, you know, here's the big issue. Bad melodrama is really bad.
Right.
Because you're trying. And they want you to care. And I didn't give a shit. No. And halfway through the movie, Armand and Sly Stallone kind of switch roles as far as who's the heel and who's the bad guy. But it didn't make any sense why they switched. There were too many interconnections with other women and who was dating who and why they were dating them. And I didn't care and I didn't understand what was going on. The big dumb brother who has a heart of gold. We've done that a bunch of times. Much better. He was kind of the best part of the movie. I mean, he was believable. It looked good. Looked like $1 million. What is Sly's fascination with arm wrestling?
I don't know. Didn't he do
that other movie? What's that other movie?
Over the Top.
Yeah.
All right. Story writing was bad.
Acting was bad.
But I thought some of the directing wasn't horrible. I liked some of the shots. They were kind of clever. Some of the up shots and through the window shots. And love the wrestling in the rain. I mean, it didn't really make sense, but at least looked nice. It looked interesting.
Wrestling in the rain, indoors?
Inside. Yeah, I said it didn't make any sense. So I'm saying it's a bad story, bad writing, but I don't think the directing was that bad. I thought the directing, the shots were kind of interesting.
I couldn't remember any to tell you.
Well, yeah, you were probably doing like what I was doing with Eraserhead, just wanted to be over.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it was, and we talked about this before, about the 70s. I think the worst part of the 70s is when they try and do period pieces. Because it's already a bad 70s film, and right. Then they're doing the over-the-top cliches of the 40s gangsters and not doing them well.
Right.
And so it just...
So you won't yield at all that if this had been done at a different time, not in the 70s, and done as a serious film, that there couldn't have been something here to the story.
I think you can make a movie about three Italian brothers who wanted to do what they wanted to do better, but you'd have to change almost the entire movie. I think you'd have to change so much that it wouldn't even be Paradise Alley.
See, I don't think so. I think if they just took out the silliness, the campiness, and the campy music with it, and the over-the-top villains.
Well, also,
kind of reminded me of Dick Tracy villains.
They needed to get to the wrestling bit quicker, and the training and the idea of that, and it needed to be more of a sports movie,
right?
Because I think that was part of it. It was, we had this weird melodrama, and the writing was so terrible. The dialogue writing in this was so god awful.
It certainly did not seem like the same person that wrote Rocky.
No. Which I'm not a big fan of Rocky. I think it's overrated, but I stick by that stance. It's good, but God, yeah, the writing in this was just terrible. It's certainly not the best Armand and Sly movie. No. Best one?
What were they in together?
Come on!
I can't remember what they were in together.
Judge Dredd.
Oh, I hate that movie.
Armand was the other guy. He was the brother.
I don't think I've even seen all that movie.
Oh, that's a good movie. That's an underrated movie. Did you read some of the trivia about this movie?
Not much.
It was originally Sly wanted it to be about four African-American or three African-American brothers. And apparently he couldn't get money, and so he had to put, you know, all right, we'll make it about Italians and I'll be in it so that we can get it. But it was supposed to be about three.
See, that might have helped it right there.
Yeah, not having Sly in it, that would have helped.
Come on, like Sly.
He's
Sly is what he is.
Yes.
Not in this kind of role, though. I want to see him do it. Expendables, Rambo,
yeah,
Rocky type stuff,
but yeah, I think now if you're gonna do a remake, I would like to see it as three African American brothers. And not a period. Well, if you're gonna do a period piece, I guess at this point they'd probably make it in the 60s or 70s.
Well, but that's not when this was going on in Hell's Kitchen, so I don't know.
Yeah,
sure how that would work.
I don't know.
Yeah, let's just leave it alone. How about that?
It ain't great. Also, what was interesting, I think someone pointed out, or I read something somewhere, that this is the only movie he's directed that was not part of a series. Everything else
he's directed has been,
you know,
up until the Expendables,
which then became part of a series.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's the only kind of standalone movie he had directed. I don't know why I thought he had directed Rocky One.
Yeah, I did too. I was going to say that to you, that I had misled you in thinking he just wrote it. I thought he wrote it and directed it.
I thought so as well. Because he's so synonymous with that film. Not just,
right.
I mean, but and because he directed what, two and four? Was that the other ones?
That I don't know.
And I haven't seen all the Rockies, so maybe you can. I mean, did he do a good job directing some of the other ones?
Well, I don't know which ones he directed.
So I'm pulling it up right now. I'm pulling it up right now. He did 2, 3, and 4, and Balboa.
Well, I like 2 and 3. I can't remember what 4 was.
I don't remember. It says he directed Staying Alive,
which is the sequel to Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, that is a sequel. Okay.
Yep. With Frank Stallone doing the music.
That's a weird movie for him to direct. I mean, I've never seen it. It's just what I think of it. Also to think that John Travolta and Cy Stallone working together on a film is also...
It's a horrible movie.
I'm sure it is.
It's horrible. I don't know. I still wish they had. Yeah, I wish they hadn't been campy. The guy with the leggings, the stockings on at the end, the bad guy.
Was that necessary?
That's what I'm saying. It just ruined the whole thing. That whole character and the way it was played and
all the
silliness, it was like they were like villains in a Three Stooges short. Yeah. They were just not done well, and not at all. But I didn't know it was about wrestling at all. So I never knew Terry Funk was that chunky.
Yeah, and I think that's why it threw me off. I was like, "This is Terry Funk."
Well, I never saw him with that short of hair and that cut like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have. I don't think I would have even noticed him until until I researched it. But again, if it had been for that one shot. And his brother's in it too, but I didn't see his brother.
Dory
Funk is in it.
I don't know.
So some of those wrestlers, I mean, they were just doing back tosses and stuff. And you really couldn't see them that well. So,
could you imagine this with another 40 minutes?
No. Wow, that's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been horrible.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I think, to me, we had one hit this week. I know you disagree, but...
Yeah,
but I'm not going to argue with you. I almost
say we missed the mark that neither one of these people should have ever been allowed to direct again.
I will never argue with anyone. I have... very firm policy now. Whatever your opinion on is on Razorhead, whether you loved it or hated it, you're right. That is, yep. Because
right. You say so.
Yep.
I'll bombard you with David Lynch stuff then.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead into next week. Did we actually officially decide on a theme?
Black and white movies.
Black and white movies. Just look, because there's a level of quality. Typically, well, nice little, I don't want to say Sunday movie, but a nice black and white film is always good. I've already told you mine. It is The North Star, also known as Armored Attack. I believe it's a foreign film and came out in 1943. It is on Amazon Prime for free.
Actually, I guess we're doing foreign black and white then.
Oh, well, there you go.
Mine also is foreign. 1957's Wild Strawberries.
Oh.
It is on HBO Max.
Who directed that again?
I forgot. We've dealt with this person before.
Yes, we've dealt with this person, and we talked about it, because you were like, I'd like to watch this, because I like this kind of movie by
that. And I'm going to watch it again, because I want to see it again.
Oh, you've seen this before a long time ago?
I did watch it. No, I watched it when we were dealing with this actor.
Oh, Ingrid Bergman.
Yes.
What did we do with his?
I don't remember, but the actor in it, the younger guy, this is him older.
We did The Seventh Seal.
Okay.
Well, so Wild Strawberries in the North Star.
What North Star? That was called?
The North Star.
The North Star. Mine's on HBO Max. Where is yours?
Amazon Prime.
Full Amazon Prime.
Yeah, so.
I can do that.
Yeah, all right. Well, I am excited.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, it's Sunday when we record, so now we can go watch a nice Sunday movie.
Absolutely.
We'll see you all, unless you have anything else to say, we'll see you all next time on a podcast named Tim. Anything else? Nope. All right, we'll see you next week for The North Star and Wild Strawberries. Bye.